B-Pod Studios.
This. Hey, have you seen his Instagram?
They need this Felger and Mass.
They don't use crank enough.
On 98.5.
Yeah, not really.
The Sports Hub.
Well, we were already looking and making calls to see whether or not we could add to the group in the right situation. I can look at it two ways. We're going to get a helpful player back at some point in time. I think we've done a really good job. You know, Berge's missed 20 games. Z's missed 20 games. Charlie's missed close to 30 games. Our guys have stepped up. It puts pressure on us. There's no question. An area where we've struggled to be consistently one of the better 5-on-5 goal scoring teams, that hasn't resulted this year. So we're going to have to continue to play really tight defensively, which we've done. And our goaltending is going to have to continue to be good.
No, and you need to make a trade. And all those things he said about the team, that's Don Sweeney. It's true. They've been a top 10 team all year. They're the 7th best record in the league, which really, considering no Bergeron and Chara for a good portion of the year.
No, it's a credit to them to be where they are.
And to have lost both those guys together for a time, and for Rask to take a month to get going again, for them to have the 7th best record in the league, is they've done well given the circumstances. I agree with that. But, so is that it? That's it? You feel good about that? And that, what, you want to be one and done again? Or do you want to give your team a chance? So now that your team's done this, you owe it to them. Just maximize it. See what you can do.
Sure. And look, I think he felt that way last year, right? I mean, that's part of the reason I made the moves they made.
And I'm fine with not giving up a first-round pick this year. I need a first-line guy. They do, but if you don't want to pay that price again for a rental, I understand that. Not improving the middle of the roster, I don't understand. That's inexcusable. So they got to do that. And in the meantime, maybe David Pastrnak needs a wake-up call. Because that's embarrassing, dude. You can't do that. You have that and the Celtics on the board. Back to your calls, as promised. Ricky in Winchester waiting patiently on the bees. Hi, Ricky.
He sucks and blows. Torrey Krug is awful. I go to the games all the time. I see him. He's such a liability defensively. And then people come and say that, oh, he's good on the power play. But no, Charlie McAvoy, he was billed as a power play quarterback coming out of BU. He could do it just fine. We're paying Torrey Krug pretty much $5 million to pass it to Pastrnak and Marchand. It's not that hard. And Greslick can do it just not as good, but, you know, pretty much like you say, 80 cents on the dollar. And also, Krug would be an asset if we want to get one of these middle six forwards. It seems like all the signs are pointing to trade him.
Okay, I'm with you. I like him. And if someone wants to overvalue Krug and get me a real piece coming back, no problem. Any day of the week for the reasons you said. McAvoy can quarterback the power play. Greslick can do it. And I think I like all of that. I'm not just selling Krug for nothing. Like, I'm not just doing
he's got value.
Yeah, so, but I've got to win that trade. And if I can, sure, Krug's on the list. No problem.
I mean, to me, he's an easy guy to move. And look, you know, you always have to factor in on some level the longer-term stuff, too. They're going to need money to sign DeBrusk, McAvoy, Carlo. Like, you know, so if you could clear a little bit of money with someone like Krug, it would help.
John in the car with a Celtics thought. Hi, John.
Hi, guys. I want to talk about the Celtics, particularly Marcus Morris. I think the guy's poison. What I mean is he called everybody out the other night, and he just did just as bad as everybody.
Agreed.
And then Brad Stevens is like, it needed to be said. I don't agree with that it needed to be said, particularly by him. He put his hands on Jaylen Brown not too long ago. You know, this kid's 20 years old. He's our future. He's one of our future. Marcus Morris isn't our future. He should have never put his hands on him.
Okay, John, I'm going to let you go. Thanks for the call.
Is Jaylen Brown really the future?
The old and the young divide. You're with the old guys, Maz.
I am with the old guys because, again, in that league, I believe in sort of a hierarchy. And I also believe in earning your way up in life. Like, obviously, the problem is that these young guys had too much success too early. And I believe in young guys, too. I'm not telling you I don't, but in this case, know your place. The reality is you're not as close as you think you are, Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum and Terry Rozier. You're not as close as you think you are.
And you can't just treat this season as a throwaway season, considering what the expectations were going in, and the players themselves had that. That's why Marcus Morris is talking the way he did after Saturday night and yesterday with Adam Himmelsbach of the Globe. They expected to go deep and challenge the Golden State Warriors in the finals this year, and he's been their second most consistent player offensively.
Look, if they moved on from Morris, I'm not shedding a tear. I'm not telling you Marcus Morris is part of the future either.
Long term, but they needed him this year.
Yeah, no. But I'm just saying, to me, this isn't about Morris versus Brown. I just look at the history with Brown and say, this guy's talked an awful lot for somebody who hasn't accomplished anything.
No question.
I mean, you know, the five rings and we, you know, LeBron is gone and we're going to have a path to the finals. And what if, why should I believe in you?
Jay in South. That's Jay in South Boston. I hope he has this on hold.
Yes.
What is that? Carpenters?
Holy crap.
Hey, Jay, are you there? Not bad though. I like that.
I mean, who plays that song on hold?
I like that. I like that soft little 70s rock.
Let's see if it segues into something new.
I like that. That was a good tune. Let's just hear what this is.
What's next?
Jay in South Boston, are you there?
Hey, this is Jay.
Hi, Jay. What's going on, man?
How's it going, guys? Yeah, so I wanted to talk about Jamison Crowder's fit in the slot.
Go!
So, I know Maz was talking about it earlier. I think he is the perfect fit. He's like 25, 26 years old, and he's coming off a year where he was mostly injured, so we could have him really cheap. He plays actually more in the slot than Edelman, and he's a big yak guy.
Okay, what was that music?
Punt return, too.
Jay, what was that music real quick?
What's that?
What was the music we just heard?
Oh, I don't know. I had you on hold.
Yeah, okay. Don't engage the callers, yeah. Felger. So a receiver like that.
So, again, and he sticks out to me because he's, you know, again, the callers said he's a slot guy. He feels like the build of a slot guy. He's on the smaller side. He's younger. Like, to me, that's the kind of guy. Go get that guy.
Blair in Maine. Quickly, Blaine. Blair.
Hey, it's Blair. Yeah, you got it. Hey, Felger. So do you think we have any chance at the 76ers tonight?
Yes.
I mean, we got our best player, which is Kyrie Irving, out.
But sometimes you're better without him, Blair. Sometimes you're better without Kyrie Irving. Tonight's a fascinating game. And it's really more interesting to me for Philly than you. Because if you lose, it's like, you know, Kyrie's out, you're on their floor. You're kind of expected. I don't know what the line is, but I would say you're, you know, it's a ball game you probably should lose. But if you win, oh, does that demoralize the Sixers?
No, it's really almost a must-win for Philadelphia.
It really is.
I mean, you know, from a standing standpoint.
Yeah,
that's exactly right. There's no way Philly should lose this game at home after the deadline and with Kyrie injured.
So Philly's favored 5.5, or just looking at the paper. I don't know what it is right now, but in the paper it was 5.5. They make that trade. They go gangbusters the last couple games. They blow out the Lakers. They're healthy. They're fully loaded. They're at home. If you go in there and win without Kyrie with your locker room a dumpster fire, oh. And I can see, I'm still not a huge believer in Philadelphia. I mean.
Well, because of Brett Brown.
Well, it's not just that. When your second or third best player can't or won't shoot, like, I think that catches up to you. I don't know. I'm still not a believer in Simmons and the coach and the way that they play. And, you know,
And Jimmy Butler could quit at any moment.
I think this whole process is one of the biggest frauds propagated on the sporting public in years. Like, they got lucky on a couple picks and blew most of the other ones. But what process are you talking about?
I like Philly tonight.
I'm sure you do.
I do. I like Philly tonight. I think this game to me screams Philadelphia.
The whole thing. Was it the Carpenters?
I don't know.
Hey, Jay, are you there? It's not bad, though. I like that.
I mean, who plays that song on hold?
I like that. I like that soft little 70s rock.
Let's see if it segues into something new.
I like that. That was a good tune. Let's just hear what this is.
What's next?
Jay in South Boston, are you there?
Hey, this is Jay.
Hi, Jay. Wow. Seriously.
No, that was one of our, better segments.
And the Tatum thing with New Orleans, that's another thing we've been hitting on today. Quincy in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Quincy.
Hey, guys. How's it going? First of all, I got two questions. One is when it comes to Jason Tatum and Anthony Davis, if we were to trade for Anthony Davis and, you know, put in the aspect of New Orleans getting Jason Tatum, how would that affect our franchise in the long run? And also,
I'm not letting you get a second question after that one. It took too long. How would that affect your franchise in the long run? I don't know. You'd have one of the best players in the league for a year, and then he looks like he's going to bolt. So this is, we've discussed that in a million different ways for the last
real title of contender. Figure it out later.
Okay, so, but I'm not willing to do that. I'm not giving up Tatum for a year of that and then figure it out later, because if Davis leaves after a year, you're sitting there with your Schmenzer in your hands and you've lost your best young player. So I'm not trading Tatum for Davis unless I have an assurance that he's staying here long term.
I don't know. Now he has that taint on him that he's okay with being the face of a franchise that's as irrelevant as there is in professional sports.
So is that a taint?
A little bit, yeah, because he doesn't care about winning as much as he's having his name ring out so he can get more endorsements and have his own shoe line.
So I want to say this was a report, but it's not. It's just a guy on ESPN, Tim McMahon of ESPN, said on ESPN yesterday, it's gossip, but the gossip is that Jason Tatum wouldn't mind being traded to the Pelicans. Jason Tatum wouldn't mind if he's shipped to New Orleans and has a chance to be the face of the franchise somewhere, because he's not going to get that opportunity in Boston, at least not in the immediate future. So this is just someone repeating gossip. I don't want to put this on Tatum unless he actually says this, but if he would really be more fulfilled being the number one guy in a nothing place that has no chance to win versus the number three on a title contender, like, is that possible? Could he really, really want that?
Sure, it's possible. Yeah.
God.
I mean, I don't get that mentality. And remember, Terry Rozier sort of said something similar earlier in the year. Like, you know, I'm a starter in this league, et cetera. Fine, yeah, you're a starter on a team that goes 40-41. Or you're a starter on a team that wins 35, 45 games. Whatever it is. What's the fun in that?
Well, so if these guys just care about their brand, the National Brand Association, and their contracts, are they more likely to be max guys to be the best player on a bad team with triple-doubles every night? And is that the better path to a max contract and a shoe contract versus being the third piece of a big three on a championship team?
Probably. And look, and I
isn't that sad?
It is sad, that which is why ultimately the guys who can change the course of a franchise in that league, you can count on one hand. That's why those guys matter. And so I don't know, maybe those other guys say, well, I'm going to get my payday, fine. But to me, you're much better off being on a good team.
Your thoughts on all these items right after these words.
Felger and Mass, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass.
Wow.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's gossip, but the gossip is Jason Tatum wouldn't mind. Jason Tatum wouldn't mind if he's shipped to New Orleans and has a chance to be the face of a franchise somewhere, because he's not going to get that opportunity in Boston, at least not in the immediate future.
Jackie, do you think...
I disagree with that. I push back on that. I think Jason Tatum could have a big starring role in Boston if they stay, but he's going to be their biggest trade chip.
That's Jackie McMullen pushing back on that notion, except I don't quite get it. If Kyrie Irving stays, if Jason Tatum stays here and they trade for Kyrie Irving or Anthony Davis, and he's going to be the third guy. Now, if they don't make the Anthony Davis trade, Kyrie leaves, and they decide to build around Tatum, and he becomes a face of it, then yes, I suppose that's possible there. But in the scenario of getting Anthony Davis and Kyrie Irving, no, he's going to be... Is he their best player in that scenario?
No,
he's not. What does he really want there? That's sort of interesting, but it's not, again, it's just gossip from an ESPN guy who knows what Tatum really wants. And, the immediate concern is, has that trade deadline thrown another wrench into this locker room that was, bad to begin with? And that is, are there young guys now who feel they're out the door? Why should I invest in this team? Because they're about to ship my ass to New Orleans.
It's a good question.
They're not investing in me, so we're lame ducks. This is all just one foot out the door. And it's hard to get everyone pulling in the same direction when one foot is out the door.
Oh, for sure. And with this team, it was hard enough already as it was. So the good news with Tatum is that based on the first game after the deadline, it didn't affect him. He played well against the Clippers. No, at least on the offensive end. You know, again, I didn't focus on him all that much at the defensive end, but they're giving up 125 a night now, for crying out loud. So, you know, but going forward, look, they're a mixed-up team. The word, to me, it feels been there all year is fractured. There was a crack down the middle of that locker room. The older guys are on one side, the younger guys are on the other.
Okay, I'm looking at a stunning comment line on my call screen here. Luke in Vermont, Green Mountain Luke. One of the chief grand poobah green teamers out there, like really in the, he's in the green team elite, says Stevens may not be the coach for this team.
He might be right.
Wow.
Luke in Vermont, are you serious?
I can't necessarily always be lumped in with the green teamers because I was anti-Isaiah. However, probably been the biggest Brad Stevens fan going. I have loved Brad Stevens from day one. But maybe Old Hickory is nothing but a JV coach, and I'm not there yet. But with Doc Rivers in town, you have to think about maybe him laughing about all this praise that Brad Stevens has got the last couple years. And you just picture him and Danny talking like, you know, maybe it is time to bring a major personality in there. Maybe Doc Rivers would be better for Kyrie and Anthony Davis. I'm not saying I've turned the page on Brad Stevens, but it's hard not to hold him accountable for all this. And it's annoyed me all year that he's kind of been standoffish about it and just like annoyed about it. Like he hasn't seen himself as part of the problem in the post-game interviews. Like all along the way, he's kind of just been standoffish about it and like annoyed with the players. Like, dude, you're part of the problem. You have to do something. You need
okay.
to coach him up.
But Luke, see, I don't consider him part of the problem, but he hasn't figured it out. Like, The problem started with the guys in there.
He should be part of the solution, though, I guess. He might not be the problem,
right.
But he should be part of the solution, and he has not inserted himself in that way. The last game was the first time I heard him say, like, I need to do better, and I've just been waiting for that. Like, Belichick, even though it's lip service, and we all know he doesn't believe it, what does he always say after every game?
We got to play better. We got to coach better.
Well, so Stevens has said some of that more recently.
He hasn't. Luke pointed that out after the last game, the first time he heard it. Now let's see if that means anything tonight. Let's see if he, you know, are there some players that are due a DNPCD, you know, a coach's decision? You're just sitting, not just reduction in minutes, but we're now going to sit you. And Stevens is going to take like a stronger.
Yeah, proactive approach.
Yes.
You know,
let's see.
Hold people accountable. If you see someone not get back to the perimeter so that guys aren't hitting open threes, sit their ass immediately down.
I mean, to me, look, you know, one of the easy changes to make right now would be to Morris out of the starting lineup.
And who in?
I don't know.
Who? Who deserves it?
Who deserves it?
Gordon Hayward?
No.
Jaylen Brown?
Well, that's why I didn't say either one.
So who deserves to be in there?
So I don't know. Maybe that. And the other thing is you don't want to give the appearance that you're making that move after Morris opened up his mouth. Right? Because you came out in support of Morris's statements as a coach, now as Stevens did. So, but Morris hasn't played well. I mean, all things being equal, it should be Hayward if he were pin right.
Right.
But he's not. So the coach is kind of stuck there a little bit and... But I don't know. I mean, that's one thing to watch tonight is if guys are making bad plays and selfish plays, does he pull them out of the game? And also, we've now have a couple of callers point out here in the last couple of days that Jaylen Brown is not passing the ball to Hayward. So let's see. I want to watch that tonight.
Kurt in Grafton. Go ahead, Kurt.
Hey, guys. So you're absolutely right that the Bruins need to add scoring. I mean, the math's not difficult. They're third in the league in goals against, which is great. Great goaltending, great defense. 18th in the league in goals for.
Let me give you a better one, Kurt. They're 27th in 5-on-5 goals for. They can't score even strength.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, you know, in my opinion, you don't solve that problem by trading Torrey Krug, and you don't solve that problem really by adding, you know, some fringe third line guys for second, third, or fourth round picks. In my opinion, it's time to swing big. And you know, I'm not saying give up McAvoy, but if you can package up some high level picks and add a guy like Panarin to this team, I think it fills out the roster nicely because you're adding legit scoring punch and you're pushing down some of those guys that have been playing, okay, you know, maybe a little over their skis.
Kurt, it sure does, but then you've lost a first-round pick and a real prospect for a guy who's here for 3 months. And if you don't win at all, it's not worth it. That's just I mean, we can debate that. I think there's a case to be made for it, a case to be made against it. I just disagree with your first premise that trading Krug doesn't solve your scoring problem. I mean, again, if you give McAvoy Krug's power play time, you're going to get some offensive production out of McAvoy or Greslick. You may not get, 100 cents on the dollar, but you'll get close. And if Krug brings you back a really good forward, then what you've lost between Krug and Greslick or Krug and McAvoy, you make up with that better forward. So I don't necessarily agree that trading Krug doesn't help your offense. It might.
And you also get better 5-on-5 defensively.
And I usually wouldn't say this, and that's right too. You fill that out. But normally I wouldn't say the third liner is going to help your scoring. On this team, a third liner would help your scoring. Because outside of four guys, no forward scores. No one contributes offensively other than four guys. I gave it to you. Pasternak, Mr. Stumbly there. Marchand, Bergeron, and Krejci, 66, 65, 51, and 43 points. The next highest scoring forward after those guys is DeBrusque at 19 points and Heinen at 16, and it gets worse from there. It's like there's no one else who scores. So on this team, their secondary scoring is so bad that this team, third liner would actually help your scoring.
Yeah, and in terms of the price, it fits.
And it's right. A more palatable price.
So the Bruins, to me, somewhere in their future, there's got to be a major move. Now, again, it's hard to do that a lot of times during the season. I don't know if that takes place after the year or what. But to me, there's got to be a major move there because I'm not totally sold on some of these young guys they have.
Jimmy, can I get that second cut from Sweeney on the trade deadline? Because we pulled it aside. Let's see a little... I don't care what he says, I guess, but a little more urgency, maybe?
Yeah, it doesn't change my approach at all. I mean, I've been having calls for a month now, at least, if not longer in terms of throughout the year, but specifically in the last month, trying to identify teams. And you can imagine the jockeying going on everywhere and all the teams that are in that some teams don't know, and they'll take it right to the deadline. So that may happen. We've been looking to do something, but if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen.
Okay. I don't like that last piece. I mean, I don't need you to get stupid, but these sort of depth pieces we're talking about, you don't have to get stupid. You don't just identify the guy. We continue with your thoughts right after Murray's update.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com. Listening to Felger and Mass.
Doesn't always have to be ha ha hee hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
I thought he said a lot of stuff that can't really argue in the last two games, and so we need to be a lot better than we were at finishing out games and handling adverse situations in games. And so I talk about connectivity all the time. If you're super connected as a team and you play with great physical effort all the time, then it's fun as hell. And when you go back and forth, then it's not as fun. And so that's, to me, like, fun is doing your job well at a high level over and over, and then you kind of catapult off the energy of the results that it brings.
Steven's responding to the Marcus Morris comments from Saturday. One thing that they tried to parse yesterday is that, the last couple days haven't been fun. The last couple days. No, Marcus Morris says it hadn't been fun for a while. Even when they were winning, these issues remained even when they were winning, and they sort of glossed that over. But let's see what the response is from the Celtics tonight. And boy, if they can beat the Sixers tonight, everything, the Sixers got everything going for them. All this momentum, the trade deadline, Harris working out, they're at home, you're without Kyrie, you're a mess internally. And if you go in there and beat the Sixers, that's a hell of a blow to them.
Oh, yeah. No. I mean, it's a good opportunity for them. But go back to Morris for a second. When he was asked about what a long time was, what did he say? A couple of days?
No.
Oh, about a week in NBA.
He said it's a lifetime in the NBA, right?
Is that what he said? No. He said that in his follow-up comments. When he was asked about it after the game, he said it's been that way for a long time.
Right, and then he was asked what the next day of practice he was asked.
Okay, so, yeah, so the, like, I don't even count their cover-up comments yesterday.
Okay, so that's what I'm saying is when he was asked how long a long time is, and he says, a week or... That's a lie.
Yes. That's not what he meant when he said it.
No, he meant months.
Right, exactly.
Is what he meant.
Since the beginning of the season.
Right.
Yeah, and so now they're trying to soften the whole thing. Like, no, this is a recent thing. No, it isn't. No, it has been there since day one, and they all know it.
And we know it, because as soon as they lose a game or two, it's like all the bleep hits the fan. The guys are ripping each other after the game. They're pushing each other on the floor. Kyrie's calling Bron. Like, every time they get into a little bit of a bad way, all of a sudden it blows up.
I would love to hear audio of that exchange between Marcus Morris and Jaylen Brown when Morris then reached out and pushed him. I would love to hear it. Because to me, Brown turned and said something to him, and Kyrie's got this look on his face like, are you kidding me with that? Like, you know, it must have been like, what the hell do you know? What have you won? Like, some, you know, there's something where a young guy never would, you know, an older guy would look at the young guy and go, you shouldn't be saying that.
So a really interesting Celtics game tonight. Let me two things that'll spin out of it as well. If they do go in there and win, and Kyrie's not on the floor, that just emboldens this segment of people who think Kyrie's more trouble than he's worth.
We don't need him.
They don't need him. They can win without him, or they're rallying without him, or it shows you that's the problem, because as soon as he's gone, you know, here they come and they have a big game.
They beat Philly without him last year.
So, exactly right,
man. The only time they've won on the road without Kyrie Irving.
The only time they've won on the road without Kyrie.
They're 1-11.
So far without Kyrie.
On the road, is that right?
People are going to ignore the 1-for-11 and focus on last night. These people who want to diminish Kyrie and say he's more trouble than he's worth.
Wow, that's a revealing number.
Well, but I'm telling you. So, look, that'll happen tomorrow. If the team rallies, shows some life, some togetherness, and goes in there and wins, people will say, see, you don't need Kyrie. He's actually part of the problem. You know we're going to get that.
I know. I hate that.
Okay. The other thing to watch is this All-Star game, this Fakakta All-Star game, which in the NBA, it's the only sport where the guys want to play. The guys want to go to the game. They want to play. They want to be. Every other sport, you know, most guys treat it like poison. The NBA, it's a real status thing to go there, to party there, be there, and then play in the game. Is Kyrie going to play in the game? Is he going to miss tonight, miss tomorrow, and then play in the game? Or
I can't imagine he gets away with that, but I bet you he wants to play tomorrow night.
Is he pushing to get back in the lab tomorrow night? Because then that sort of clears that hurdle to play in the All-Star game. That if he doesn't play tomorrow night, then he knows the optics are so bad if he turns around and plays in the All-Star game. So he's going to make an appearance tomorrow just to pave the way so he could be there over the weekend.
Why would you think he now cares about the optics after what he said a few Fridays ago?
Well, just keep an eye on that whole thing. Because that would bug me if I were the Celtics. If he goes and plays in that game after being banged up and not being able to play tonight.
I think it's bad if he even goes. Like, if I were the Celtics, I'd say, Kyrie, what are you doing? Why even go? No,
he's setting up his summer.
That knee injury, Maz, that knee's bad. He's done for the year then. They tell him no to the All-Star game. I mean, Kyrie should be playing tonight against the 76ers.
So this is
a more important game than Thon Maker and the Detroit Pistons tomorrow night.
I'm not convinced of that, because that injury to me looked, I don't think he was faking it. And he was hobbling, and I'm all for giving your star player a night off. But if he misses tonight and plays tomorrow night, well, that doesn't look good.
Well, if he misses tomorrow and plays at the All-Star game, how does that look?
Worse.
Let's keep an eye on that. Okay, so again, the fallout if they win, both in Philadelphia and here without Kyrie, you know we'll get it. And then just watch his playing over this weekend as it relates to the All-Star game. That's another thing I'm keeping an eye on. We got both tonight here on the Bees family of networks. The Bruins tonight against the Red Hot Blackhawks. They're all of a sudden figuring it out. That's 7 o'clock tonight on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Celtics Philadelphia tonight on 105.7, I'm sure. With the call on that one. So we finish it up here with your phone calls. We've got Pedro and Peabody. Go ahead, Pedro.
Hey, how you doing? So what I think with the whole Kyrie Irving thing, they should have traded him before the trade deadline. I think he's out the door. After watching that Lakers game in the fourth quarter, the whole team was standing up supporting the team. He was sitting down. His demeanor just looked like he's out the door. I think he's, you know, out of here no matter what, unless we beat Golden State in the finals, which I don't see happening. And if the Celtics trade for Anthony Davis, they're giving away their future because he's not staying here. I think that they should do exactly what was talked about earlier and build around Jason Tatum and just hope for something else that way, because I don't think that the future with Kyrie and Anthony Davis is going to work out anymore. Thank you, guys.
I don't think that's totally unreasonable, Pedro. I don't. Let Kyrie walk. Forget this Anthony Davis thing. He doesn't want to be here. You know, cycle out of some money. Horford will be up in a year or two. Create a max slot and get someone to come here, play with Tatum, and hopefully Brown or Hayward turns a corner, and that's your three. I don't think that's totally unreasonable. I don't. I'm still going for for Davis, but I have real reservations about it because I don't think he wants to be here.
Well, look, I think everybody has reservations, but that second plan you're talking about, congratulations, you'll be the Indiana Pacers.
Not if they get a real third player.
Okay, how are you going to do that?
Well, they're going to buy one.
Mm-hmm.
They'll create a max slot and get someone to come here to play with Tatum, who, again, if this is the path, Tatum fulfills his promise and looks like he's really one of those next guys. Either Brown and or Hayward get their act together, which is possible, and create a max slot because Horford's money is off the books. There you go.
Yeah. I mean, so again.
Go get your max guy.
So now they're going to get a max guy with the money when they can't get one with their existing situation.
You make it sound so implausible. I think this whole thing of getting Anthony Davis to come here and stay here is implausible.
Yeah, it's probably. It might be. I'm just telling you it's the better path. That's all.
No, no. Well,
if you want a championship, it's the better path.
Well, they're better players. I think the odds of that happening are less likely than my scenario.
Yeah, in which case you won't win a championship.
If I get the right free agent, I will.
Mm-hmm.
Connor in Shrewsbury on the Bruins. Hi, Connor.
Good luck with that.
Hey, Mike. So I'm listening to you talk, you and the callers talking about the Bruins, and I think it's really getting down to prove it time for Don Sweeney. I mean, we got people calling in talking about, you know, give away this and that for Panarin. We got you, Mike, talking about bring back the Fribble crew and the like.
Connor, that's how bad it is that I'll take a Fribble guy right now. I really would.
Yeah, this is where we are. And, you know, we gave him a nice, long Peter Chiarelli grace period. That was wonderful. You know, fine. But the best young player they have, who was drafted by Peter Chiarelli, just fell down and hurt his whatever because he's been out having margaritas and whatnot. So not good for Don Sweeney. Doesn't feel good going into the end of the year.
So, yeah. Look, to me, it's about these middle depth roster pieces. That should absolutely be a doable thing. And if Sweeney can't do that, then I'll be aggravated as a Bruins follower. The high price guy, the big guy, again, I've told you, that's a whole nother kettle of fish, and that's I'm not expecting that. I don't need that. But I do need an improvement on the third freaking line. That's really not that hard. And Sweeney bears no responsibility for Pastrnak, who, I'm sorry, that is embarrassing, man. That is embarrassing. And the team kind of embarrassed you by giving us enough details for us to really not, it's not that hard to connect the dots on what happened there.
I mean, the wording of that thing, the second I saw it today, I went, holy crap. Like 11:30 Sunday night after a team sponsorship dinner, he fell down. Fell down. What does that mean?
Too much steak.
Not right. Exactly. Yeah. Shouldn't have gone so heavy on the carbs. He had a sugar rush. Like the did he stumble downstairs? Lost his footing? No. He fell. Fell. Like he's a 92-year-old man who, you know, has a bad sense of equilibrium. It just, how does that happen to a 21-year-old world-class athlete?
So again, it feels like, you know, I mean.
Oh, that's right. I forgot we can speculate.
You can speculate all you want, buddy boy.
That's right. No, we can't speculate.
I'm just far more responsible than that.
No, not allowed now, Murray. 9.5 years in, it's a kinder, gentler fellow now.
Jack in the car. Hi, Jack.
Hey, how you doing tonight, guys?
We're good. What do you got?
Well, so I think the NBA is going to eat itself alive. So Mark Cuban was railing against the NFL, how screwed up the league it was. How screwed up is the NBA today? You know, 2 years from now, we're going to have about 5 teams that can compete for the championship, and everybody else will be an also-ran.
Well, Jack, let me tell you,
that's what's happening now.
5 is an upgrade. Oh, my God, 5 would be a parity compared to what you have now.
And when's the NBA ever been any different?
No,
it's always been that way.
Now it's worse than ever because it's one team. Now it's one. It's not even 2 or 3. Now it's 1. Look at the odds. The Warriors are 2-5. Everyone else is 10-1. Like at least in the past, there were 2, maybe 3. Now we're down to 1. And in the last 4 years, it's been the same finals, right? It hasn't been Golden State Cleveland for 4 straight years.
Yep.
So
I think we're safely out of the woods on that one.
So it's good point. But it's gotten worse than ever the last couple of years. It's always been bad. It's been worse. But there's been only 2 teams in the finals, and one team has a chance this year. If you got to 5, oh my God, I'd feel like it'd be wide open.
Yeah, Durant ruined it. I mean, he's the one that turned it into a one-team league.
But, you know, the NBA's a mess thing. Isn't that coming from Celtics fans because it feels like you're getting shut out here? You know, if you were one of the halves, you would have no problem with it.
No, nobody seemed to bitch about it when Kevin Garnett and Ray Allen ended
Thank
up
you.
Here.
Thank you.
And so, look, I just think that, you know, this movement and instability, I actually think it's pretty good for the league.
I agree with it. I agree. It's better than having only those 2-3 teams and then no one ever moves. Hell, like try being me growing up in another market where it was Celtics-Lakers for a full effing decade. You know, Golden State Cleveland's been 4 years. The Celtics Lakers thing?
Went 10.
Oh, my God. It was a decade.
Yeah, well, close.
I mean, it was 81 to 87.
Yeah, 80, I was going to say 87, 88. Yeah, but it was in that area.
But even 80. In 1980, well, you were in the conference semifinals, and the Lakers won it.
Correct.
So it was like from 80 through 88, it was either you or the Lakers. I mean, try that on for size.
No, it was bad back then. And honestly, I think that once Durant moves from Golden State, the league, depending on who ends up where, the league could be pretty open. I mean, it could be or five teams that'll win it.
Right. If you still keep enough pieces here, New York retools with Durant. Now the Warriors are a little diminished out west. Does someone add with LeBron? Houston, OKC still in it. Maybe you are five teams.
Correct.
That would be great, actually.
No, I was going to say, for NBA, that is wide open.
Never mind Milwaukee or Toronto or some of these other teams.
Correct. Yeah, you get a much more open field if and when Durant moves.
Final word comes your way next. Do we have a recap of 10 questions with Maz? Okay, listen, we did 10 questions on the Red Sox today. It was the Big Boy Tuesday with no Big Boy, so we did 10 questions with Maz on the Sox and baseball. The recap coming up next.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger and Maz.
I love it.
You were right, Maz.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this 4-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And the final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Looking for the best deal on tires? Only one place to go, that's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
No. Two pieces of sound in the final word today. We'll start with 10 questions. No,
yes,
Bedard.
Yes, love it.
No Bedard, but no problem. Instead of 10 questions with Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal, it was 10 questions with Tony Maz.
Me.
Number 10, Chris Sale. Has averaged 14 wins a season in his career. That's what he averages, 14 wins. Last year he won 12. Okay, with an amazing ERA of 2.11, and he got hurt. Are you over under 14 wins on Chris Sale this year? Chris Sale.
Yeah, this was a tough one.
Number 9, who is the fattest, most out of shape player you ever saw report the first
time? Curt Schilling, 2008.
If you could only have one of these players going forward, take your pick.
Bogarts.
Everyone is still unsure whether or not Dustin Pedroia will make it back. Should we want him to make it back?
Yes. Ultimately, I do. Yes. Because at the end of the day, yes.
If you could have only one of these two players going forward.
Stanton.
The next 3 years, I'll put a timestamp on
Stanton.
It.
Stanton.
Take your pick, Anthony.
JD Martinez.
Got to do a tool bag question.
Oh, of course. Of course.
Who's your
forgot
favorite
about Red Sox right now?
Yeah, this is a killer.
Thank you. Who's the biggest tool bag in Major League Baseball right now?
Manny Machado.
Could be player.
Machado.
Manager.
Number one.
Front office.
Complete pain in the ass.
Media guy.
Tool bag.
What's next for David Price?
Suck it, haters.
Last question. What's a World Series matchup you're rooting for? And to take out the Red Sox, or you don't have to take out the Red Sox, but what would be a great World Series matchup?
Yankees-Cubs. Yankees-Cubs would be... Yankees-Cubs. I want it noted on the record that I have grown as a human being.
That does show some growth. Yeah, not quite as stupid as the Bedard 10 questions.
It was sort of the anti-Bedard. Very quick, decisive answers. Quick and decisive. That's what we're looking for, Greg. You should take that little segment right there and study it.
Finally today, Ben Volen of the Boston Globe joined the show for a
kid.
3-minute interview, which ultimately turned out to be more of a nonstop beating.
Oh, seriously, this poor bastard. Yes, it was like Mad Dog revisited from Super Bowl week. Mad Dog was like, boy, you guys are feisty today.
Ben Volen, on what are you smoking? Do they have drug testing at the Globe?
Yeah, were you drinking with Pasternak Sunday?
No. What, I got 3 minutes here to defend myself?
Yes.
Guys, to pay that kind of money to
they
keep
should.
A player?
They should.
Why? The whole... They get guys like Jamal Sheard and Rob Ninkovich.
You're taking
Lawrence
that
guy.
Cheese? So wait a minute. You're doing the value when? Thing? Since when do you care about value? It ain't your money.
You're right. It's not my money. And sure, I mean, making $1 million a year is, you know, within their system.
We're not about the sex.
We had so many problems with your story. It's really hard to know where to begin. 3 minutes doesn't do it justice. You would cut Rob Gronkowski's salary, but not Devin McCourty's. Explain yourself.
He's losing his step.
What do I care what he hit on the miles per hour? What difference does that make?
He's not losing a step. And heady player, and
how
he's
many plays,
everything the
Ben,
Patriots program is all about. Like,
how many plays did he make?
I wouldn't toy with.
How many plays did he make?
I mean, I can't count them off the top of my head.
I can, like, three. Like, you tell me. No, you should be. I think you can count on one hand the number of plays he made.
I say two.
If I, that would have been a big play for him. This is a he's a, I don't know if he's an all.
Before your time is up, what could you possibly see in Cordarrelle Patterson?
Because I don't think he's going to cost that much money, like $4
million. Too much.
Softens up the defense with that, the end-arounds and the gadget plays.
He softens up the defense? How did he soften up the Rams?
On the end-around. Every time he goes on that end-around motion, the defense, the defenders, you know, follow him over, and let's let him show, get these big holes right up the middle.
So $4 million for a guy who's just a fast guy to run around the end twice a game?
They paid him $3.5 million this year.
Too much.
It worked out pretty well. They won the Super Bowl.
So now because they won the Super Bowl, everything worked? You don't believe that?
Not everything worked, but like, you know.
Well,
you
let's give Dwayne Allen a raise.
Well, they just won a Super Bowl with Dwayne Allen.
Okay, Ben, we're out of time. Thanks for joining us.
All right, thanks, guys. See
you. Have a nice day.
We're through with you.
You're listening to Felger and Bass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.